Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Amy, and it's a pleasure to join you as we read God's Word together. Today is Saturday, June 11th, and we'll be in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 25, Psalm 16, and we'll finish 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. First, let's turn to Numbers 14, and I'll read verses 1 through 25. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness! Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who'd explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, Lord, are with these people, and that you, Lord, have seen face to face, and that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put all these people to death, leaving none alive, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the wilderness.'" Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. Not one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea." There's so much happening in this passage that I want to talk about, but we can't talk about all of it. One main thing I want to bring up is Moses' relationship with the Lord here. So Moses is appealing to God and saying to God, "I know that these people deserve just to be killed because of their unfaithfulness. They have been whining and complaining ever since you freed them from Egypt. And now they're wanting to go back to Egypt because they don't believe that you are capable of delivering them from the hands of the enemies in this land you have promised them." And Moses says, "If you are just done with them, What will the nations think about you? Your character, your reputation's at stake, God. And then Moses repeats to God in verse 18 this refrain that's found throughout scripture that we first hear in Exodus 34 when the Lord appears before Moses after the incident with the golden calf, when Moses is up on the mountain receiving the law and the people worship, and it's really a terrible scene. And God relents from destroying all the people, and he says to Moses, I can start over with just you. And Moses intercedes and pleads for the people. And then he asks God if he can see God's face. And God says, no man has ever really seen my face. But God comes before Moses and declares this statement that's found in verse 18, that he's a God who is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. But he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents, the third and the fourth generation. And you see this played out in the story of Israel. We see God being slow to anger. God says here in Numbers 14 that the people have tested him 10 times, and he is slow to anger. And yet he is a God who does not allow evil and injustice and sin to go unpunished. And so we see both that he's a God who is abounding in steadfast love and mercy. And I think about that image of being abounding. It's like a cup that's overflowing. God's love and his mercy ripple on to the next generation and the next and the next and the next. But God does punish the guilty. And we see that here in Numbers 14, because those who were unfaithful and disbelieving in the generation, save for Joshua and Caleb, will not enter into the promised land. Today's psalm is Psalm 16, a miktam of David. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let's continue on as we finish 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today. We'll be in verses 16 through 24. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and their reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your word today and for the reminders in Psalm 16 that You are a God who is for us and a God who is with us, and that at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As we think about Christ, I'm reminded how ultimately we know your love for us because of Jesus, that you did not abandon Jesus to the grave, but you raised him up to life. And if that was true for him, it will also be true for us, God. We pray that that love would be the motivating love that would move our hearts in the ways that we respond in faithful giving and in faithful serving and in faithfulness to those around us, Lord. We pray for the members of our household today. Would you help us to show the love of the gospel in the ways that we interact with them? We pray for those in our community who are in need and ask that you would meet them in the midst of their want and that they might find you to be good in every season. We thank you for Jesus. We pray all of this in his name. Amen.